Our Father in heaven, we do pray that you would speak to us as we come to you now to receive the food of your holy word. Please take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. Lord, we ask for your blessing now by the Holy Spirit's power. Change our hearts, change our thoughts, change our attitudes that we might become more and more like you. You are a glorious God, and we worship and adore you, and we trust you to work within us by your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10. It's found on page 724 in the Church Bibles. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10. And now please give this reading your full attention as it is God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. May God bless unto us the reading of his holy word. And now please take your outline or turn in your forms and prayers book to page 259. Tonight we continue our new series on the Canons of Dort, covering Articles 3 and 4. Article 3, the preaching of the gospel. In order that people may be brought to faith, God mercifully sends proclaimers of this very joyful message to the people he wishes and at the time he wishes. By this ministry, people are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. For how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching? And how shall they preach unless they have been sent? Article 4, a twofold response to the gospel. God's anger remains on those who do not believe this gospel. But those who do receive it and embrace Jesus the Savior with a true and living faith are delivered through him from God's anger and from destruction and receive the gift eternal life. Amen. Well, beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, last week in our introduction to the Canons of Dort, we learned that God doesn't need to save anyone at all. God could have justly chosen to leave the entire human race in their sin and under the curse of eternal death. Thankfully, however, God showed amazing love to the world by sending his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But this brings us to another question. How does anyone come to believe in Christ? And today the Canons of Dort set before us the importance of the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of sinners. See, friends, salvation is a gift, and the faith through which we are saved is also a gift. And the way that God gives the gift of faith to sinners is through the preaching of the gospel. We read here in Article 3, in order that people may be brought to faith, God mercifully sends proclaimers of this very joyful message to the people he wishes and at the time he wishes. Yes, it is true that God elects, God chooses people to save, but God works out his salvation through means, and particularly through the means of preaching. Yes, the Father draws sinners to himself. As Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." But how does the Father draw sinners to himself? Through the proclamation of the gospel. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Friends, this is very important. We must understand that God does not only ordain the end of salvation, he also ordains the means to that end. 1 Peter 1:23 through 25 explains this. There the Apostle Peter says, "We have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God, and this Word is the good news that was preached to you." Of course, for this preached word to be effective, God must work powerfully through it. In Acts 18:9 through 11, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." God had many people in that city who would respond to the gospel preached and taught by Paul. As Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God's elect people will hear his voice, and they will respond to the gospel. God's chosen ones will receive and respond to the ministry of the means of grace. They will respond with faith by believing. Yes, through the preaching of the gospel, God brings the dead to life. He brings people who are dead in their sins and trespasses, dead in their unbelief. Through the word, he brings them to life. And our scripture passage in Ezekiel beautifully illustrates this truth. In Ezekiel 37, the prophet is in the middle of this valley full of bones. And when he takes a closer look at those bones, he sees that they are very dry. So the Lord asks him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel replies, "O Lord, you know." But then the Lord tells Ezekiel to do something. He says, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Now, boys and girls, let's pause for a moment here. Well, what do you think of this? Do you think it's going to do any good for the prophet Ezekiel to say to a bunch of dry bones, "Hey, dry bones, listen up. Listen to this sermon I'm about to preach to you"? Boys and girls, does that make any sense at all? I mean, these bones are dead. They're dry. Dry bones can't listen to sermons, can they? So what good will it do to preach a sermon to them? But friends, here's the thing. It is the exact same thing when any unbelieving sinner sits under the word of Christ. By nature, we are all dead in our sins and trespasses. By nature, we are a bunch of dry bones lying on the ground. We have no spiritual life in us. We can't do anything but evil. You remember what we read last week in Romans 3:11? No one understands. No one even seeks for God. By nature, no one is even trying to listen to what God has to say. So what good will it do to preach a sermon to them? What good will it do to preach a sermon to you? By nature, you are just a bunch of dry bones lying in the valley of the shadow of death. But again, friends, what did the Lord say to Ezekiel? The Lord says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" And in verse 5, we get a hint of why Ezekiel is to preach to these dry bones. Thus says the Lord God, to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. The word, the message is that God Himself will do for these dry bones what these dry bones can never do for themselves. God will make them alive. Through His sovereign word, God will bring dead sinners to spiritual life. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. But what else does the Lord say in verse 6? And you shall know that I am the Lord. You see, friends, God is sovereign. And He wants us to know that He is sovereign. He wants us to know that He is the one who brought us from death to life. You didn't do that on your own. You can't pat yourself on the back for believing. Not unto us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory for the sake of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. That's why God chooses to work through the means of the preaching of the Word, because He wants us to know that it is He who calls the dead to life. You remember how Jesus raised Lazarus? He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out of that tomb. The man who had died came out alive because Christ called him out by His word. That is how powerful the word of Christ is. Christ says, sinner, live. Christ says, sinner, believe. And we live. And we believe. The rest of our passage describes what happened when Ezekiel did what he was told. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them. And flesh had come upon them. And skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Friends, this is what our God accomplishes through the preaching of the gospel. He brings His kingdom from heaven to earth. He brings sinners from spiritual death to life. He brings new creation life. God works powerfully through the preaching of the word in a way we can hardly imagine. For He works by His Holy Spirit to powerfully do for us what we can never do for ourselves. And He does this in a way that confounds the world. God works through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That said, preaching has fallen on some hard times lately. Is preaching really necessary? Some well-meaning people think that plays and skits or TV shows or children's Bibles with pictures are a far better way of reaching the lost. Does it really have to be preaching? Well, the Bible itself begs the question as to how anyone could be saved apart from the preaching of the Word. Romans 10:13 quotes the scripture, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then in the next verse, Paul raises the question, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Friends, preaching is absolutely necessary. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Christ sends His messengers throughout the world with this very joyful message. As it says in Article 3, he sends these messengers to the people he wishes, and at the time he wishes. Now, how many Christians have often asked, but what about people who have never heard the gospel? Well, what about people who never have the opportunity to hear Christ commanding them to repent and believe? Can they be saved without ever hearing the gospel? Is there some other way for them to be saved? What's the answer? Well, the answer is no. And maybe you think that is unfair because they never got a chance. But again, does God owe them a chance? Didn't we just affirm in Article 1 that God would be perfectly just and righteous to condemn everyone straight to hell? God does not have to send the gospel to everyone. God does not have to send the gospel to anyone at all. The fact that God does send the gospel to some people is a gift of His amazing grace. And the canons emphasize this. Notice that word, mercifully. God mercifully sends proclaimers of this very joyful message to the people He wishes and at the time He wishes. This is a gift of mercy. No one has the right to hear the gospel. In fact, none of us even deserves to hear the gospel. We deserve the exact opposite. And friends, this truth should color the way that we approach the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word is a gift from God. It is an incredible privilege to be able to sit under the preaching of the Word Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And as I listened to some sermons this past week on this part of the canons, I was struck and reminded of how we don't always treat preaching as the gift that it really is. There are many Christians around the world who crave access to God's Word, who are not able to receive it because of where they live, or who must gather in secret in order to hear the Word preached because of persecution. And yet sometimes we ask, do I really have to? Do I really need to go to church this morning? This evening? Meanwhile, God says, you don't even deserve it. And yet this is a gift that I have given to you. Now, how often do we complain that a sermon wasn't engaging enough? There weren't enough illustrations. It just wasn't my style. Or it lasted way too long. But aren't we missing the point if this is the way we think about the preaching of the gospel? Shouldn't we instead be thanking God for His mercy and amazing grace to us? After all, why were you born into a family that attends a Bible-believing church? To parents who make it their priority to take you to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening, do you think you deserve that? No, it's a gift of God's grace. You are blessed. So blessed. We are so blessed to be able to freely gather here today to worship the Lord and to hear His Word. Let's be sure to thank Him for this great gift, because it is a gift and it is necessary to our very salvation. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And what is the content of preaching? Well, Article 3 continues. By this ministry, people are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. Repentance and faith. Repentance calls us to turn away from our sins, to confess our sins as the sins that they are, to stop making excuses for them. Faith in Christ crucified calls us to trust in His cross as the payment for our sins, to believe that it is finished, and to believe that God sees us as righteous in His sight because of Christ's perfect obedience in our place and because of Christ's finished sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sins. That's what it means to repent and believe the gospel. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. The content of the preaching is good news. It is a very joyful message because the message is Christ and His salvation. But this also means that any preaching that is not centered upon Christ and His gospel is preaching that entirely misses the point. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "The sermon which does not lead to Christ or of which Jesus Christ is not the top and the bottom, is a sort of sermon that will make the devils in hell laugh, but might make the angels of God weep. In fact, many pulpits today have a plaque on them which says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And this is to remind the preacher that his message must not be one of worldly wisdom or popular advice, but he is called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is called to preach the joyful tidings of salvation for sinners by faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, and according to the Scriptures alone. This past week, my colleague, Pastor Mark Vanderpool, posted on Facebook a quote from the conclusion of J. Gresham Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism. And I believe it is a quote very worthy of reflection. Machen wrote, "Weary with the conflicts of the world, one goes into the church to seek refreshment for the soul. And what does one find? Alas, too often one finds only the turmoil of the world. The preacher comes forward not out of a secret place of meditation and power, not with the authority of God's word permeating his message, not with human wisdom pushed far into the background by the glory of the cross, but with human opinions about the social problems of the hour or easy solutions of the vast problem of sin. Such is the sermon." And then perhaps the sermon is closed by one of those hymns breathing out the angry passions of 1861, which are to be found in the back part of the hymnals. "Thus the warfare of the world has entered even into the house of God, and sad indeed is the heart of the man who has come seeking peace. Is there no refuge from strife? Is there no place of refreshing where a man can prepare for the battle of life? Is there no place where two or three can gather in Jesus' name to forget for the moment all those things that divide nation from nation and race from race, to forget human pride, to forget the passions of war, to forget the puzzling problems of industrial strife, and to unite in overflowing gratitude at the foot of the cross? If there is such a place, then that is the house of God, and that is the gate of heaven. And from under the threshold of that house will go forth a river that will revive the weary world." Friends, the world needs not good advice. The world needs Jesus Christ. It needs the message of the cross. It needs the preaching of the gospel. It needs the word not of man, but of God. The Holy Scriptures should be the content of our preaching. Christ should be the content of our preaching. And if they are not, if he is not, then we are missing the point. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul writes, "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be emptied of its power. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." So the gospel, the joyful message of the gospel must be preached. But how do sinners respond to the gospel? What happens when the gospel is preached? 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. For some, the preaching of the gospel is a fragrance from life to life. But for others, it is a fragrance of death from death to death. Some who hear the message of the gospel and the call to repentance and faith receive it, believe it, and obey it. Others reject it. And in fact, there is no middle ground. Either you are receiving the gospel or you are rejecting the gospel. Either God has sent his Holy Spirit together with the word to soften your heart so that you might embrace his word, or else you are being hardened day by day in your unbelief." And friends, this is no trifling matter. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And Article 4 echoes this biblical statement. God's anger remains on those who do not believe this gospel, but on those who do receive it and embrace Jesus the Savior with a true and living faith are delivered through him from God's anger and from destruction and receive the gift of eternal life. You see, this is how important the gospel is. You cannot live without it. Your friends and family members cannot live without it. Anyone who does not hear and believe this gospel will perish forever and ever. And so tonight, dear friends, let me ask you, have you received and embraced this gospel for yourself? Have you repented of your sins and believed the good news? And if not, then may God be merciful to you. May God wake you up. May God bring you to light like he did for that valley of dry bones. May God make you alive. In the words of Ephesians 5:14, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It will take nothing less than God's sovereign word to awaken you from the sleep of death. May he bless you with the awakening you need. And may he bless us to see the importance of this gospel and to mobilize as a church to share it with others in our community and in our world. Friends, God has given us this great gift of his word proclaimed. As we all know, he wants us to share this word with others. So may he equip each of us and us as a church to do this by his Holy Spirit's power. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the preaching of the gospel and what a gift it is to receive. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of all the faithful ministers you've given us throughout our lives. And we pray that your word would always resonate within our hearts and that we would always be thankful to you for the life you impart to us by that word. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be thankful for the preaching. But Lord, also keep us mindful on what true preaching is, that we might focus upon the word of the cross, the Holy Scriptures, and the Christ proclaimed in those scriptures. Work powerfully by your word in our lives and also in the lives of our neighbors. Help each of us to be committed this week and throughout our lives to this very joyful message of the gospel. And we pray that all the glory, honor, and praise will go to you in salvation and in everything else. We ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.